Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
I am coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, where I record on land belonging to the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi, and Wyandot Nations.
And I am coming to you from North Canton, Ohio, where I am recording on land belonging to the Kaskaskia Nation. I did look that up, and that is the pronunciation. Yeah.
These are all some nations of many who are very much still out here doing their thing, and we would like to acknowledge that.
Hell yeah.
Beyond Reproach is the show about scandals and scandalousness in American politics and government, and today we're doing a mini-sode. We're going to do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah. Deal with it.
When I was a kid at school learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday. How could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
So if you listened to last week's episode, then you know the history of the Pledge of Allegiance and how the reason kids are reciting it isn't solely based on just national insecurity and maybe needing to indoctrinate some children. The pledge was born of a marketing gimmick, which is even more embarrassing and wrong.
Yeah, it's not just indoctrination. It's also capitalism.
Yeah. You know, that free market.
Yes.
It saves us, you know? Well, we're just so free. Mm-hmm. Like our, yeah. So it was a marketing ploy to sell magazine subscriptions to kids. Yeah.
Good times.
I talked about how there were these different iterations over the years and how this spring it was discovered that the man who was credited as being the author of the pledge, Reverend Francis Bellamy, he nicked it from a child. I love that part of this story.
It's because, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. A reverend stealing, taking credit from a child. Okay. Amazing. As one does. Mm-hmm. So in this mini, I want to talk about the controversial edition of the line, One Nation Under God.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. We touched on it in the last episode. So the original pledge, it was written in 1892, and it contained no reference to, you know, the Lord God. The Lord our God, I mean. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Not my God,
right? I want to start with a really fun flag-related quote that I found. I guess it's not flag-related, it's pledge-related is more accurate. So do you know who once said that prayer uplifts the soul and unites Americans as one nation under God? Does that like sound like someone you know?
I mean, it sounds like a Reagan kind of a thing to say, but it could be anyone.
It could be anyone. You're right. It is vague enough. It's like nationalistic, you know, yeah. they're saying God, they're saying uniting Americans. So this person continued, and we say it here, you know, a lot of people, they don't say it, but you know what? They're starting to say it more.
Bush?
Donnie Trump.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people is like a key, or like many people are saying is like
yeah,
another
yeah. one. Yeah. Yeah. It just started to sound a lot dumber as the quote went on. So I was like, Bush?
Bush was a good guess with that. Reagan knew how to communicate. Those two, not so much. So did you know that motherfucker was born on Flag Day?
Oh, why am I not surprised?
He was 14. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yet another reason not to fuck with the flag, you guys. Okay. So I'm home in Ohio. I don't know if you did you see my story about the flag that appeared in
Yes.
You guys, I'm in Ohio right now, and it is like flag central. I haven't seen so many flags since 9/11, since right after 9/11. Wow. It is outrageous. So a flag appeared in our yard 4 days ago. And I almost did like a double take going down the stairs because I saw something red. I'm like, what is that? And I, as I'm walking down, I'm like, that's a fucking flag in the yard. And I went to my mom and she's like, yeah, Augie put it there. And I'm like, what? So Augie is the man who does our lawn. And it, this was not the first time that he is placing a flag in our yard. He does this for the 4th of July. He occasionally will put it up in Memorial Day. He'll eventually come and collect, you know, the trash that he left in our yard. But my parents are like too nice to say anything.
That, I mean, it puts them in a really awkward position where they, to say like, hey, I don't want this stupid flag in my yard,
yeah,
would make them look un-American.
And this guy, he's basically the, like my dad's handyman. He does all of the work in my dad's hospitals and in the office. Like he is like Mr. Fix-It. So it's not just he's doing the lawn. It's he's, anytime we have a problem, he like comes and helps us. So they feel like it would really, really hurt his feelings. I mean, my mom kind of doesn't care. She thinks it's funny.
I would be less concerned about hurting his feelings than I would be about like we're the like black family in this town and we're like, get this flag out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a bad look as well. It's like, look at the black being un-American as they do. Yeah.
Is he white?
He is white. I mean, he has extra flags laying around, so
yeesh. Yeah.
He's not one of us. So what was I gonna say? Yeah, I asked my mom what she thinks would happen if I put up like a rainbow flag. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, sure you don't. And then I asked Jessica the same question. She's like, it would go missing pretty quickly. I'm like, yes, that is the answer. But I'm very tempted to get a flag for balance. But you know,
yeah, I would ask Augie to put it up. Give it to him.
Right? So we are recording, two days before the midterms. Hopefully when this mini drops, there will be some good news.
Oh my God.
I'm fully deluding myself. I choose to be optimistic. I choose to believe that Gen Z and Black women and the LGBTQ are going to save us. That's how I feel.
I am less optimistic.
Okay.
I was feeling very optimistic because of like the whole Roe v. Wade thing and the number of women that have registered to vote.
Yes.
But I've also, because we're so close to the midterm, I've been seeing a lot of propaganda on the TV.
Yeah.
And it's making me really nervous. Yeah, crime. Yeah. A lot of stuff about, well, I think this might be Michigan specific because the ballot initiative Prop 3 that's meant to secure the right to abortion in Michigan also has some kind of provision in it for some, I don't even fully understand it, but the right is trying to make it out to sound like we're trying to like guarantee that children will have the right to gender reassignment surgery without their parents knowing about it, which is complete and utter nonsense. But apparently there's some kind of vague language in the way this proposition is being written that this is the way they're choosing to interpret it and use that as like a scare tactic.
Okay.
So I have seen so much stuff, lots and lots of stuff about crime, but so much stuff about transgender indoctrination.
No, there's what?
So many attack ads in Michigan have flashes of images of drag queens in the ads.
So you mentioned that as before,
a scare tactic.
And I thought that you were kind of joking, like, ha, no. Drag queens are so scary. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they sometimes sing out a key and that is scary. But like, I was just thinking of who's that one, the one who was always wearing red, Tina Burner.
Oh, Tina Burner, yes.
She's kind of scary. But I didn't know that there were ads. Yeah, in Ohio, it's really just crime. They're trying to act like things are lawless and that every Democrat is just going to let people out of jail to come in, you know, I don't know, do bad things to your house.
There's a lot of that too, for sure. Okay. But a lot, the transgender thing and the drag queens are always piggybacked right on top of the crime. Like, so-and-so is soft on crime, and they're going to indoctrinate your children to be transgender and flash a picture of a drag queen.
Oh, my God.
As if drag queens and transgender people are the same.
Yeah.
Also, get it,
and it's
get
like,
it
is it a drag queen that, like, looks really good?
No.
I mean, not that it matters, but, like, I'm kind of curious. I'm like, who are they showing?
If the next time I see this ad, I'll try and remember to send to Google it and send it to you.
Yeah.
I can't remember the,
Yeah, you brought it up and I really thought you were making a joke because I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, drag queens are so scary. So I totally got off topic.
Sorry. Yeah.
Everyone just go vote. Oh, I guess it's after they're going to.
It's too late now.
Too late.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that all these ballot initiatives will pass. Anywhere where Roe v. Wade is on the ballot, I'm very hopeful that those will pass.
Yeah, I think so too.
Been allowed to put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
But I'm less hopeful about maintaining our control of the Senate and Congress. I'm much less hopeful. Hopefully I'll be proven wrong by the time this comes out. Hopefully I'll be wrong, but
I think that they're undercounting the youth as they often do. They're not really reflected in a lot of polls. And if they are, it's just a small number of them. And they like women, have been registering to vote in really, really high numbers. And I don't think the media is really covering that. And, like, you know, it doesn't really bother me that the media is not covering it because, you know, the media is kind of, you know, they have a narrative, but I still choose to believe that somehow we're going to hold on to control, because if we don't, I can't even fathom that.
I know.
They're already talking about impeaching Biden for what? Who even knows?
For what? Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he has to perform a crime first, but whatever.
Okay, so getting back to the pledge.
And yes, sorry.
No, I brought it up. I just have a note that's like, mention midterms. And then, you know, 5 hours later, I'm like, oh, yeah, the flag under God. Yeah. I forgot. So this controversial phrase, even before it became controversial, and I think I mentioned this in the last episode, there were Supreme Court challenges from religious communities, even before they added the under God. Did I mention that there were Jehovah's Witness that, like, brought court cases? No? Okay. Maybe no. I just mentioned it in my head.
You did briefly mention it. Yes, you did.
Okay. So court cases about whether students should be required to recite the pledge hit the Supreme Court in 1940. People kind of like to make fun of the Jehovah's Witness because they are weird and they are annoying. And they, you know, they wear belts and they tuck their pants, their shirts into their pants. But they are such a look. Like, you can see them coming, especially in Brooklyn. Like, they stick out so bad in Brooklyn. I just see them coming towards me with, like, a smile on their face, and I'm just like, no, thank you.
The white button downs, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just, like, so crisp, like the lines in the sleeves. It's like, you ironed your shirt. Come on. So these people are weird. However, they were the first religious group to really, really reject the flag and this requirement for their kids to recite the pledge every morning in school. So the first court case was in 1940, as I said. The Supreme Court ruled that it was not a violation of their First Amendment rights to require their kids to salute the flag, even though for them, the flag, saluting the flag is like an act of worship, which goes against their religious beliefs. Thankfully, 3 years later, the Supreme Court was like, LOL, JK, you know, you're right, this is fucked up. We're going to make an exception, an exemption for you. Everyone else has to do it, but y'all are exempt. The court ruled that forcing these students to recite the pledge was a violation of their First Amendment rights. So why then was under God added when there were already so many legal challenges and battles being waged in the 40s through the 50s? Because communism. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Communism hijacks our collective brain. We mentioned this in the last episode that I think you brought up the money because you said it happened around this time too, in the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But this was around the second Red Scare, so it makes sense. This is when, you know, people are just saying capitalism good, communism bad. Mm-hmm. Communism then and now was seen by a lot of conservatives as godless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
I think here is a good spot for a break. When we come back, we will learn about Reverend George Dougherty, who is the man who was credited with getting this phrase tacked onto the pledge.
Boo hiss.
Yeah. Boo hiss. BRB.
Okay.
Welcome to Hashtag History. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Leah.
And if you're a history nerd,
or even a history hater,
this is the podcast for you.
Even if history was your least favorite subject in school, we can guarantee you will like this podcast because we talk about all the things that your history textbooks did not.
Things like how the Bonnie Prince Charles and his Jacobite uprising was a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, or how the pharaoh Akhenaten was so disliked by Egyptians that they literally purged his name from nearly all of their records and pretended like he had never existed.
And we do all of this while drinking and rating a custom-made cocktail specific to that week's topic.
So grab a drink, take a seat, and hang out with us each week as we learn all about history's greatest stories of controversy,
conspiracy,
and corruption.
Okay. Do-do-do. Breaksy breaks. Okay, and we're back.
Huzzah! We did it.
We did it. So Reverend George Dougherty, let's get into it. He was born in Glasgow. Okay.
I think.
Scotland. Pretty I don't sure. know why that's hard to say when it's clearly phonetic. I don't know why it's difficult for me. But he came here in 1911. I'm sorry, no, he was born in 1911. He came to the U.S. in 1950. He was brought from Scotland to become a pastor at a really popular church in D.C., the New York Ave Presbyterian Church. Have you heard of it? It's like the biggest, most well-known church in D.C. It was a favorite of Abraham Lincoln, went there for Sunday service. Like, all of the presidents go there. You've been to D.C., right?
Yeah, I've
probably seen it.
Churches are not high on my
list. I know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's beautiful, but yeah.
I mean, I do appreciate the beauty of an old church. I can appreciate that they're like, I've gone to churches in Europe, but American churches don't really do it.
They're not the same. They're not as like grand, but this one is really nice, you know, for us. It's the best. Yeah. It's one of the best examples of a nice church here that I've seen so far. So he had not heard of the pledge until his son came home, I guess, reciting it one day. And he was really upset. This is a quote. "I came from Scotland where we said, God save our gracious queen. God save our gracious king." This is what Dougherty told the AP in 2004. He went on to say, "Here was the Pledge of Allegiance and God wasn't in it at all." Like, he was shook. Like, this became his mission. He used his pulpit every Sunday to kind of rail against, just kind of pepper it into his regular sermons. He had previously talked about this so much that he was kind of like going through the argument in his head. Yeah, he found his perfect audience in February of 1954, when President Dwight D. Eisenhower attended Dougherty's service in honor of Lincoln's birthday. So it's Lincoln's birthday. Dougherty, he's feeling himself. This was the audience that he'd been waiting for. He would frequently go off on these tangents, you know, when he was feeling that sweet, sweet spirit. And here was the President of the United States sitting in the first row. He was ready. he said, to omit the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance is to omit the definitive factor in the American way of life, he said from the pulpit. Okay, sir. Having time to... Yeah.
You've been in this country for how long now? Like, who...
A few years at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hell asked you, sir?
So having time...
God save the king.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
So he had time to kind of research his delivery. He had mentioned in sermons previously that he felt under God wasn't religious, which is really interesting. Yeah.
In what respect, Charlie?
Yeah. He felt that it was broad enough to include Jewish and Muslim people. So I guess it was like non-denominational religious is what he was trying to say. Because it's under God, not under like the Christian God. However, he said, fuck out of here when it came to atheists. He said in this sermon,
what? Or other religions that aren't monotheistic.
Yeah. He wasn't thinking about them at all. Okay. He said in this sermon, an atheistic American is a contradiction in terms. If you deny the Christian ethic, you fall short of the American ideal of life. Again, sir, you just got here. Don't try to drag us.
Yeah, what do you know? Yeah.
So calls to add this under God to the pledge, they were promoted by groups like the Knights of Columbus and various veterans organizations. But Eisenhower didn't really care. He would hear, you know, they'd send their little letters, they'd have their little meetings, and he's just like, whatever, okay, sure. But for whatever reason, this sermon really got to him. This same week that he sat for the sermon, bills were introduced to Congress to add the phrase, and Eisenhower signed the act into law on Flag Day, June 14th, 1954.
Good Lord.
Yeah. On that day, Trump turned 8.
Okay. Okay. I'm just
picturing him in his little knickers. Hopefully someone is kicking him. So until his death in 2008 at age 97, Dougherty, he was like a good, despite pushing, advocating for God in the Pledge of Allegiance, he was like a good pastor in the sense, like he believed in like Christianity in that like old sense. He was like Well, he was pro civil rights. He was anti-war. He was pro racial equality. He was on the bridge in Selma on Bloody Sunday. Like he marched with civil rights leaders. He marched with MLK. He criticized openly the Vietnam War from his pulpit. He said this to like Secretary Robert McNamara, like in his face, like he was anti this war in Vietnam. And on Lincoln Sunday, which is it's known, Lincoln's birthday, in 1974, when the Watergate special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, and President Richard Nixon were in the congregation, he titled his sermon, Whatever Happened to Courage? And six months later, Nixon resigned. I mean, not because of that, because of a lot of things, but like, he was openly defiant of the, you know, America as a war machine. And that to me proves that he is a foreigner. It's like, you might be white, but like, he's not down with the shit. Despite pushing for this pledge, he was, you know, he was kind of a real one. But yeah, that's kind of the end. The pledge was celebrated on Flag Day and there was this big ceremony and for some reason he wasn't invited.
What?
Yeah. He said everyone who was anybody was present except me. They forgot to invite me.
Maybe because he's not American? I don't know. I mean, I guess the bottom line here is that like the pledge is fucking weird with or without that added piece of information.
1000%. So, like, yes.
As much as I do think it's silly and stupid to fight so hard to get that added, it's silly and stupid already anyway. So who gives half a shit? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm glad that I know why we fought so hard to add it. Because I did just assume, like, obviously it has something to do with communism and the fact that communists are godless.
Godless heathens, you guys.
Yeah, but wild. Okay.
That's weird.
That's some story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for telling that.
You're welcome. Yeah, the is stupid, but like, I don't know. It's like, it's so stupid but also like very dramatic. Like there's all these intersecting stories. And when I saw that Flag Day was Trump's birthday, I'm like, oh God, I'm doing this. I'm doing this as a mini. This shit is wild.
It's also weird that we just have we have Flag Day in the first place. That's another weird thing.
It is very weird. A lot of what we do and just think are normal because we don't think much about them are weird.
Yeah.
Like pledging allegiance to a flag is bizarre. And
I know. Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know why. I was like listening to the last episode and thinking like, yeah, it's weird that we're like, we pledge allegiance to the flag. .. Oh yeah. And the nation for which
and the nation.
Stands.
Yeah. Like it's odd that the order.
Uh-huh.
But again, it was about selling those flags.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is funny how this whole story, all every piece, every little individual part of the Pledge of Allegiance has been so deeply impacted by like individuals who just want to be heard or like want somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Individuals. Yep. We're rugged like that.
Rugged individuals. Yeah. Wild. All right.
Yeah. Well, so what? Yeah. It's proof that people like one person or, you know, a few people, a handful of people can change our country, but it's like for the better or.
Yeah. I know. Can we do something? Can we do something that means something next time, guys?
No, but it has to be capitalism for it to happen. Oh, yeah. That's how one person can do something if it's capitalism.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we could just get like a capitalist who cared about climate change or something to, you know. Meanwhile, Elon Musk out here making Teslas he's going to just tank Twitter.
Oh my God. He is getting sued. He's like, I love it. Like I am that Michael Jackson meme with the popcorn. Like I'm living. It's so fun to see him getting in fights with AOC and like losing. He's just such a man child. And I knew that before, but like, wow. He's like, I knew that he didn't have good ideas. I knew that he was just wealthy.
Yeah.
But just seeing it so clearly, it's like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, I get why you think you need to go to space now, because look at you.
Get out of here. All right. I guess we should wrap this up before we go on yet another tangent. Thank you for telling that story. The more you know.
Yes.
With the rainbow comet situation. Yeah. That's it. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach, the mini-sode. This has been Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo. That's all right.
Big thank you to our new audio editor, Dev. We could not do this without him.
Nope.
Ta-da! We did it. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all. Thank you for listening to Beyond Reproach. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. And make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We also have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.